Everybody got it. Hope y'all doing good. It's a beautiful day outside for me. Is it going to rain?
Well, it did.
You broke through. Okay. Well, this morning we got a treat. Brother Scott Burns is going to be up here shortly. You got something good located in there for you? All right. Well, anyway, I do want to remind people before Scott comes up about Jack Lockhart's conference. May 13th, 14th, and 15th in Arab, Alabama. If you want to go, contact me or call Jack Lockhart. My phone number, I'll put it up here. It's 850-375-6703. And you can, I'll just say that right now. We write everything on the board. It's they pay for the motel, furnish the food. It's a three-day conference. Probably approximately 10 preachers are going to be there. Ryan Sipes is going to be there. Robbie's going to be there. Sam Gerhardt's going to be there. Just some good preaching is going to happen there. But anyway, Scott, come on up, brother.
Woo!
All right.
Singular excitement.
I'm excited.
The crowd's going crazy.
Ooh.
Amen. Don't get me started because I'm about to. I'm sweating already, man.
Good morning, all. Oh, I can actually hear myself.
Amen, man.
That's a good thing. How's everybody doing this morning?
Well,
excellent.
Yeah.
That's right, Dave. It looks like you can use a pillow.
Poor Dave.
Does somebody have a pillow for Dave? To make him comfortable.
My head's
kind of
like thinking of the word.
Osmosis. How many years did I do that? Oh, man. Oh, that's great stuff. Well, good morning, all. Good to see you guys. See, you guys are back from your trip or wherever you were at. Was it good?
Yeah.
In here. So Peter's in the house.
Yeah.
All right.
Boring.
Well, I've had one verse in my head for probably 3 or 4 weeks right now. And it's ironic. Daniel started to talk about some of those verses. Isn't that ironic? And I mean, if you spin over to Romans 8:28, that's kind of where we're going to, that's kind of the home base right there.
My favorite verse in the whole Bible.
Is it? It may not mean what you think it means. You know, I would look at it and go, oh, yeah, yeah. That means that everything's going to turn out good for me. Without thinking of the immediacy of what might be going on before you get to the point where it works out for all things that are good. But I'll leave you with these questions. Starting with these questions, but do you believe all things work together for the good of them?
Amen. I do. Without a doubt.
Are we, or are you, the called?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
I'm ready.
That's what the book says. And I know I say this over and over, but you have to remember that Paul is writing to believers when he says this stuff. Now, it could be about all kinds of things, but it's always directed at believers. That will help you understand the text that's in the epistles. Because if you think it's just to anybody, it won't make sense. And it can be about all things. It could be about another believer, an unbeliever, things, chaos. You know, it could be about anybody. He's directing the message to a believer or believers. People that are in the body of Christ, that invisible spiritual body that exists in the world today. I would say, show of hands, all those that don't believe.
That wasn't me.
Okay,
same way with eyes and time.
Well, you know how that works. You know, if I'm a believer, you know, everybody else is awesome. Anyways, let's start out with a quick prayer. God, we love you. We love you, Abba Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk and teach and understand a little bit more about what you have going on, primarily for us in this particular dispensation. And thank you for that. Thank you for the other believers that believe the same and how to rightly divide and dispensationally divide this Bible. We just thank you for that. I just ask that you'd anoint this message, that what comes out would be fruitful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey. Jesus.
Hey.
So Romans 8 and 28. It's ironic because Trish talked about this right before we left last week. Now, it was in reference to something else in a different version of the Bible, but the point was, and maybe something you didn't know about us, and I certainly don't want to point the finger at us, but have any of you ever had a dog before?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we recently had to put down our 13-year-old dog. Not this last week, but the week before. Byron knew about it, a few others knew about it. It was a little fresh. I wasn't really willing to talk about that because, you know, the tears start to flow. But we actually both were in there, and I actually held him in my hands, you know, his head, and it was a tough moment. We knew it was his time, but it's still a tough moment to see, you know, somebody you love go from life to death like that. So it just rekindled this Romans 8 and 28. And 8 and 28 goes, and we know that all things, now these all things could be good, bad, other, ugly, whatever it might be, work together for the good to them that love God. I have no doubt everybody in this room loves God. You know, there are people in other churches that love God too. Anyone else say?
Sure.
Why not? To them that are called according to His, that being God's purpose. So it starts out with those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I'm going to go ahead and read 29, and I'm going to jump into a few of our verses that we cover for the gospel that saves today. But I think it's important to see that their free will is still ruling today. It's not dictated by God who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. It's a choice that each person gets to make. 29, for whom He, that being God, did foreknow via your free will. You, via your free will, had to make a choice whether you were going to believe and trust in Jesus Christ and His work, right? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Do you believe you're conformed to the image of His Son? Well, the Bible says this, if you believe and trust the gospel, which we're going to get to here in a few minutes, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So how does God foreknow? He knows everything. Now, we've covered this before. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are not limited by time. We see time incrementally based on our past, our present, and our future. God sees all things from eternity past to eternity future, all at the exact same time, and all the various decisions that everybody are making. He sees everything all at once. He is not limited. Yeah, I know. Well, we always heard, well, He's seen the movie and He knows what's going to happen. Maybe that helps us to understand it, but He sees everything that's going to happen, past, present, and future, from all the people that are on the earth, all the people that used to be on the earth, all the people that are going to be on the earth, from creation and things that have gone on. He sees all things all at the exact same time.
But not only can He see, He can alter time if He wishes as well, right? As you mentioned, Byron showed it to me, He reversed time. So.
There were a few episodes where He actually backed up or stopped the sun for a little while there was a battle going. There are examples of that. But He is not dictated by time. Only we are dictated by time. Weird. And a lot of times we'll put God in that box. God's in a box with us God's not limited by that. But I do believe he puts us on the best possible path to say, yes, we trust and we have faith in what Christ did without making us do that. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Daniel and I were talking before class how God protected us until we saw. How many times should we have died before in various ways, and God protected us till we could get to that point in that city?
I absolutely believe that because there's a number of accidents that should have killed me. So now, brings up the question we've asked this before. If God knows that you're going to get saved at 60 and you're at 30, can you walk out of the traffic and get killed?
I know. So
the answer is no. If he knows you would have to get to that point in time to say yes.
He's going to make sure you get to that point.
Hello.
Yeah.
But God's free will made you. God's free will let the man know that he's too stupid to walk out there.
I'm
like the word smart.
I don't know. I think there's plenty. I think I would have been one of those people. Yeah. You know, bebop out of the bar. And...
Yeah, but that's a different story.
Well, it's my story. It's the one I have. I did some pretty stupid things. Well, you don't have to agree. Because maybe you weren't there.
I was right there with you.
Still do stupid.
She likes champagne.
Even after we've accepted, God protects us from killing ourselves many times. We have a mission. We have something we need to do. And he keeps flying.
I agree. And what is that mission?
For each other.
Right? Absolutely. Others reconciliation. We're believing ambassadors in an unbelieving world.
Amen.
And we have a message that's so simple but so powerful that the world needs to hear. Let's move over to Ephesians 3. So how does God foreknow us? Well, most of this room know, but I'm guessing there's a few out in video land that don't know based on a number of shows that I watched this morning. I'm having a great time in churches. Why is it in these churches that they refuse to teach the very thing they'll save you? They'll teach just about everything else. And they're having a good time. I understand we were in those churches. We were having a great time. And only looking back can I now go, wow.
Ignorance?
Maybe subliminally that message was kind of pieced together. But then I go back, no. He used to say, you know, that Jesus Christ died, he was buried and resurrected on the third day, and that's what saves us.
Nope.
And what did he leave out of it? What was the key thing? What was the key ingredient? Even Israel knew that. There's a sin problem that had to be dealt with. And then this revelation of mystery, the sin problem is added into that statement that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and was resurrected on the third day. And once we believe and trust that, that resurrection counted as justification.
Hey.
I didn't get that anywhere else. I don't know about you, but I didn't get that anywhere else. But we kept searching, we kept finding. Hopefully everybody's at Ephesians 3. We're going to do 1 through 4. Because we keep referring to this dispensation of grace of God. A lot of people go, oh, what's that all about? So let's read it before we move on. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, just a reminder, Paul is writing to people that are already saved. Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God. This is part of the prison ministries. This is the second portion of the scriptures, the epistles that Paul wrote. This is what we fall under. Because earlier on, it was the gospel of Christ. Now it's the dispensation of the grace of God. It's the same exact thing. I rarely write on the boat, or board, I should say. that he was crucified for our sins, he was buried, and he was resurrected, and as you've heard Byron say a number of times, for our justification. He did every bit of the work. It's all been done. Every bit of it. Can I help him a little bit?
Oh, what?
He's a pretty busy guy up there. I mean, he's got a lot going on. And if
you can do whatever you want, but it's his little
thing. I can't even fathom his responsibilities.
That and that alone is what's going to save you. You can't add even a little bit to that and be saved. Not even a little. Go ahead, Jim.
The most relevant gospel taught today is Peter's gospel. Peter is the apostle to the majority of the people in Christendom today. And they like the work they have to do. They said, if you do this, if you do that, you do the other. This is how they present it to the people. And then if you fall off, don't worry about that. You come down and you can come down to the front and you can ask him to help you with those problems you're having, and he'll correct you and all this. It just makes me sick to hear these pastors teaching this to their congregations, and they don't know the truth because all they hear is lies.
For those on video land, what Jim was indicating, maybe you can pick him up back there, but that most people follow the gospel that Peter was teaching in Acts 2 and 38. You know, when that group of people that were pricked in their hearts said, what must we do?
Right.
And Peter came out and said, well, you need to repent and be baptized with water in the name of Jesus Christ.
For the remission
of sins. Now, there were some sins that were taken away, but the atonement portion will not be taken care of until they get into the millennium. And a lot of people will go, yeah, but remember when Jesus said, go out into the world? Remember?
Let's keep going.
I'm kind of going off the beaten track here. Let's go to the end of Matthew. End of Matthew. 28:19-20. He's talking to the... should be the 11. Yeah, the 11 right now. They hadn't hired Matthias as yet. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, look at there. He said all nations, right? Aren't we all nations? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And yes, there was a period of time. They were given a year. Unfortunately, those, you know, there was an order. There was an order, those in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, and then the rest of the world. There was an order that these things had to happen. Here's the problem. How many in the Sanhedrin believed and got saved? Out of the 70? Well, Joseph of Arimathea was a righteous man. So I'm going to say one. Nicodemus is a question mark because he was there to pick up the body with Joseph of Arimathea. But I never see that he was a righteous man. And he kind of came in at nighttime. Maybe he wanted to know a little bit, but he was a little afraid to profess that. So anyway, so it says here, go therefore. And that should be enough. But let's take a look at Galatians 2. Galatians 2 mirrors up with what's in Acts 15, and there's the Council of Jerusalem, or the Jerusalem Conference is probably a better name, whereby, you know, Paul and Barnabas and Titus were called up there to Jerusalem. We're going to go over to chapter 2, and if there was any doubt in your mind that somehow that the 12 apostles were still carrying the torch and that it was their gospel, it all ends right here for those who are not circumcised. Starting at 7, but counterwise, when they saw, that's Peter and the gang, that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And you get to 9. Here it is. And when James, that's the half-brother of Jesus, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we, that would be Barnabas, Paul, and Titus, unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So if there was ever any doubt when this stopped, it stopped right there. That particular gospel was no longer going to be available to the uncircumcised. And you go, yeah, but everybody gets circumcised today. Well, that's not what it means. It means Israel. It means those who are under the law. Everybody okay with that? That's kind of a neat little feature to show there. And now that I'm off that particular beaten track, go ahead.
Scott, in circumcision and our relationship with the Lord as well, like we're cutting away the old man or something.
Spiritual circumcision. Yes, but the physical circumcision is me. You can have that done, or you could not have it done. But this goes back to Genesis 17. If you want to do a little research on it, you'll find out who received that.
And
it was Abram, and then he had to go ahead and do that to everybody, all the males that were in his camp, to include, you know, the worker bees and everything else. Who was in charge of that event?
I don't know.
Was there anesthesia back then?
A lot of wine, man.
A lot of wine.
That's a
lot of wine.
And all I keep hearing about is sharp stones. They don't hear about sharp knives. So anyways, I digress. Let's go back to Ephesians 3.
Yes, sir.
So, dispensation of grace of God, verse 3, how that by revelation he, that would be the resurrected Jesus Christ, made known unto me, that being Paul, the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, that something new was happening. And that new thing was that we were going to come in, be his death to pay for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection, period, which takes care of our justification.
Hey.
There was no more water baptism. There was no more going down to, or going up to Israel and all those other things. It was a new program that was not shared before. It was a secret.
Why was it a secret, Scott?
It was kept secret because the original promises were for Israel. Had to come to Israel first.
Oh. Right. And that too.
You know, if we see a little split up of this, I'm not going to go, I get sidetracked.
Get it, baby.
No. Oh, you know, but one of the first places that Jesus goes, he goes into one of the towns where he had grown up, and they pulled out the Isaiah scrolls. And he reads off a bit of it and says, this has been satisfied today. But he stopped right in the middle of the scroll and said, this has been fulfilled today. And went and sat down. And didn't say anything about the wrath that was coming and what was going to come. He stopped right in the middle. I think it's covered in Luke 4, if I'm not mistaken. We get a chance to do that. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, I think. Anyway. But he showed a division right there. Most of us don't catch it. Because some other things had to happen before this tribulation came that they all knew about and the kingdom. But he stops right there. Let's move on to Colossians 1, verse 25-27. Normally we go to Romans 16 and 25, and that's one of our favorites, but I thought I'd hit one of the other ones that talks about the same thing. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. All right, sounds quiet in here. Welcome, you guys. He says, whereof I, that being Paul, am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, if you go back to the beginning, Colossians, I think you're going to find it's going to say to the saints. Let me get the exact word. You shouldn't have it down here. Saints and faithful brethren in Christ. I kind of wrote this when Sylvia was weaving in the rain. So it's kind of a little...
Not weaving.
Even in the rain, I've given them my fist. But I may hear say she is an excellent driver. It's kind of neat when you're sitting there and there was, quote scripture, and there she is, that dirty. Beep, 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 beep. She was right, you know. I said, well, it's okay, hon. I prayed for her and that she wouldn't hurt anybody else. And she's like, oh. Did you say that you were praying for him, too?
I did, actually.
Did you? Yeah, but you said something.
She almost ran off the truck, which would have run off me off, and stopped getting me on this.
Somebody did the head knock over.
You gotta go home with her, man. That's what I'm thinking, bud.
And I'll just tell how wonderful she is and how good a driver she is. I'm sure glad the rain isn't coming down. All right, back to Colossians, verse 26. Even the mystery, we just talked about it, that mystery that was shared, the resurrected Christ with Paul, that we could be saved without the law.
Amen.
All it is trusting and having faith in what Jesus Christ already accomplished. Have you done that?
It's too easy.
Have you taken you out of the equation and just believed what it was that Christ did and said, that's all I need to do? And we're going to get to that in just a second. Which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Israel didn't know about this. This was a special deal. But you know what? Last 2,000 years, the only way anybody can get in there, including those of Israel, is through the gospel that Paul was sharing. That's it. I'm sorry, folks. I know there's a lot of promises to Israel in there, and it says to God this, and God gave them this. But that is past tense and future tense. It's not currently. Currently, it's already been done. You simply just have to believe it, trust it, and have faith in what Jesus Christ has already done. It's a belief thing.
Why do people make it so hard?
It is so easy.
Because you were right where I was at. You were learning a lot of gobbledygook, and it sounded like it was true. And we took it in, and that's what we believed. We tried to make sense of the madness. But eventually, we didn't settle, and we continued to read on and went, that's not really what that meant, what was being taught. And that would cause us to move on to 2 Timothy 2:15 to study. Because we weren't studying before. We were satisfied with what was being poured down our brains. 3-4 verses, whatever, you go in there and you know, lots of cool music and this, that, and the other. And you walk out, you think you were good? Oh, I'm good. Unfortunately, I wasn't good. But there again, it takes back to earlier. Could I be taken out of the picture if Jesus already knew I was going to be saved in the future? The answer is no. You know, they love to say, you know, you could walk right out of here and you can go into the traffic and boom, you're out of here. You better get saved right now. And I do agree, you should get saved right now. Why? Why go through all the hassle? It's a lot easier just to believe it.
So once you're saved, you got to walk out because then you go.
Well, that's true.
Amen. Find a straight gate.
You know, she never does tell us exactly when we're going to die. Will we live the same way?
No.
Could you live the same way if you knew exactly when you're going to die?
When your heart stops.
Would you be a little extra safe if you're coming up on that day?
No,
I'm not going to go to the store. I'm going to have somebody else go to the store for me. I see. Yeah.
Well, then I'd be leaning more toward what I was doing and what I am instead of what he's done for me.
Exactly.
He did it all.
Every bit of it. It's just that simple.
Just trust what he's done.
There's not a lot of rules.
A few minutes before you die, he's got plans after you die. You'll be well taken care of, so don't worry about that.
Actually, I don't know if everybody else was that way, but I look forward to moving from this planet to heaven.
I'm ready.
I'm going to go with the Irma theory. Just please don't make it hurt. Sleeping
cool.
And waking up in heaven is a pretty awesome thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But a rapture would be even better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to do it.
So
I'm ready. It's real soon.
Verse 27. To whom God would make known. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope. Now, I covered this back a couple months ago that it's not a hope so. When you see hope in the Bible, hope normally means a confidence in a future event. Confidence in something that's going to happen. Because today we kind of water down hope. Well, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
It's going to happen? I hope so.
You do that.
You think there's going to be enough dinner tonight? I hope so. Hope, confidence in a future event. What's a future event? The rapture. Being dead. Separated from my body. Present with the Lord. These things are all going to happen of glory. All right, Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. And this actually is something from Terry McLean. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but you take verse 13 and you kind of read through it, but then you go backwards. You ever hear him do that, Byron?
No, I haven't heard.
Okay, well, let's try it. Let's see if it makes sense. If not, I'll never use it again. Fair enough?
I take 12 and go forward. That'll work.
But I'm going to read it forward, and then I'm going to come back. To
what chapter?
We're in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, in who you trusted, and if you look in 12, it's going to talk about Jesus. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, ye believed. Yea, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 14. I always read 14 because somebody's going to go, oh, read 14, read 14. Or ye, sorry. Can I go yay when I get there? Oh, thanks. That's good. That's a good catch. Well, no, look, that's Carol's job to find those.
Sorry.
It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now,
the purchased possession is me, right?
Okay.
So why did he purchase?
I cannot take her anyplace, but if I can...
That was me.
Oh, well, that was you? Are you a ventriloquist? Okay, yay!
When it comes to rapture, I can't help but yay many times.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance? We've got an inheritance coming until the redemption of the purchased possession. That means that last person gets saved that's in the body of Christ, and we are called up. You're going to get your brand new body. Welcome to heaven.
Amen.
Here are the spiritual blessings. And there are a bunch up there. I'll pass you on to Byron. He knows what all those blessings are going to be, right?
Excellent pizza.
What?
Yeah,
bang. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to verse 13. And it was interesting. I actually listened to this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, and then it kind of makes sense. We're going to start where it says ye and not yay. It says ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you guys have the Holy Spirit? Are you sealed with them? Why? Now we move backwards. After that ye believed. Well, what did you believe? After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I thought it was interesting how it was laid out. It kind of puts it into... Because 1:13 is the layout for how we get saved today. It tells us how to be saved and points us in the direction of the gospel, our salvation. So where would be the next spot you think we should go? I'm going where that guy's going. Let's give an amen to the front row. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4.
I was thinking the same thing,
and we've heard this over and over. Moreover, brethren, Now, he's just rekindling and re-talking because these guys are all saved. I declare unto you the gospel.
Hey.
That's pretty clear, right? He's getting ready to tell you what the gospel is. Pretty clear. Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand.
Hey.
So it's not just easy believerism type of thing. This is serious. You nail it down. I'm either going to believe this or I'm not going to believe this. I'm going to trust this or I'm not going to trust. Or I'm going to have faith in this or I'm not going to have faith in this.
All or none.
You got it, and it's all you. I can't do it. And none of this is work. This is you deciding you're going to believe. Two, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Yes? You can know this thing, you can answer on a multiple choice test, and that will not take you to heaven. May give you another question down here on earth, but it will not take you to heaven. Go ahead, Danny.
How can you tell if you believe in vain? What are the signs of that?
If I come up to you and say, Daniel, are you going to heaven?
Yes, sir.
Why do you deserve to go to heaven?
All because of what Jesus did.
And what was it? Everybody should be able to quote that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that he was buried for them and he was resurrected for them. That's the only way I'll ever know if you understand it or not.
The main stuff is, well, I was baptized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I know too, or I know all of this except the sin part.
I joined the church.
Right.
Joined the church.
There are people and churches that love God. I mean, I loved God back when I wasn't saved. I loved him. And I thought I was saved. And I walked in that 20 or 30 years. Easy. Thinking that I was saved and everything was taken care of. Until I found out it wasn't taken care of. And all the law, all the things I was doing to help God were nothing but filthy rags.
Dung.
Dung, filthy rat. Paul would call it dung. Isaiah, we hear filthy rags. But nevertheless, it could not help you get to heaven. Go ahead, Peter.
If you go down to 14, it explains how you could believe in vain. If Christ was never resurrected to justify you for your sins, then you're still in your sins, and that's how you would believe it in vain. You know, you wouldn't. If he was never resurrected, then you would still be in your sins, and then your belief in what he did would be in vain.
But there's people that know this gospel. They can quote this gospel. But they've never really trusted this gospel. I've already heard a few stories. I've heard Byron talk about a few folks. And I've heard some others talk about it as well. That they can just call this thing out. And out it comes. But did they really trust it? Did they trust just that? Or were there other things that they trust to get there? Second. Go ahead.
Well, the minute they added anything to finish the work of Christ, they're lost.
Right. Amen. Which means they probably weren't saved to start.
Yeah.
And no matter wherever I went to any church, I never heard that gospel. They didn't. They beat all around it. But they always said, well, come forward and just put your trust in Jesus.
Satan is alive and well. Hey, we're over there. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11. This is off the beaten track here. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul warns us about this. You just got to find it. Hey, Byron, can you hold that down?
I'm trying to chase
you. You're riveting too loud.
Okay.
All right, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These are unbelievers, just in case you thought these were believers here. Now, they may believe in Satan, but these are not believers in Jesus Christ. 14. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What do you mean he's not in that red suit with pitchforks? No, somebody made it out. Probably Disney did that. I don't know. But he's actually, from what, everything I've heard, he's an extremely attractive angel. That's what allows him to tempt a lot of people. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now, these are fake ministers of righteousness. Whose end shall be according to their works. If you make your way over to Revelations 20, you're going to find out about the book of life, and then the books that have the various works. And that's what it's referring to. Those books are going to be open, and they're going to be judged on these very things. Now, I think maybe we're going to be spectators for that, but I certainly don't want to be the one that's being read the adjudication on it, because that's not going to be a good time. Because everybody's coming there that's not a believer is going off the lake of fire in various levels of pain.
So, Scott, if death comes get you, you know you're not going to a good place. If the Holy Spirit comes for you, I know
right now, if I fell dead right now, I would be in heaven. And my body would still be laying up here, and you guys would have to deal with it. Oh, no. Yeah, who would have to deal with that mess? But I know where I'm going to be. And everybody in here should feel the same way. No, not feel, I'm sorry. They should know.
Absolutely.
So who cares? Who cares if we get to that point we have? Everybody down here, last time I checked, it was one for one. Right? Except for two anomalies. One we can discuss, the other one, Elijah was pulled up. And there weren't too many in the Bible that have gone through
death
that.
Death takes you, you're going to hell. Straight up. If the Holy Spirit comes for you, great. So if death comes for you, you know you ain't going to a good place.
I don't like to put it that way because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says,
Jesus comes
for you. Check this out. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, I'm going to start at 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. We're going to do 7 and 8. It says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We all got that? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now look at 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and... What does it say, Dan?
Always.
So it's a...
We're already there. So it's just a...
Now you are sealed with the Holy Spirit if you have trusted this gospel of grace of God. You are sealed, and you're going up there. That seal doesn't come off yet until you are up. You're thinking about it, aren't you?
You can't feel the seal.
There you
go.
Sylvia said,
I like that. I like it.
All right, back to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to do verses 3 and 4. The two most important ones, right? For I, Paul, delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. That's from the resurrected Jesus Christ. That Christ died for our, I'm going to personalize it, my sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried for me, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, for me. In Romans 4:25, we find out his resurrection, if we believe and trust the gospel, was for our justification. So when God, the Father, looks down here, he doesn't see you, he doesn't see your sins. All he sees is Jesus' perfect payment. Perfect. Because you can't go to heaven with even a single sin on him. Do you know that? And I hate to tell you, even those babies, as innocent as they are, when they come out, guess what? They are full of Adamic nature blood. That's another story, but I believe, and I think I could prove it, that there's a time period until you can understand the gospel that you get a free pass But once you get to the point where you can understand the difference between is there a Jesus, is there not a Jesus, and that age is different for everybody. You know, we've heard, and my time's up, so I got to hurry up. We've heard, wow, there's a three-year-old that says she believes, and boom, she's saved. I don't think a three-year-old can be saved. But I think there's a point in time, maybe in your late single digits or early double digits, that you understand and you've made a decision to consciously either believe it or not believe it. And I think up to that point, and I can't give you a specific age, but and we know that when David had that affair, and remember he had a son, and that son was born, and he was in a bad way, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and eventually the kid died. And then he said, I will come to you because you can't come to me. Now, do we think David's not going to go to heaven until the time to come down here? He was saying he was going to go visit his son in heaven. And there's a couple other things out there. And I guess there's going to have to be part two next week. Are you okay with that?
We do that.
I didn't fully get into what I wanted to get into Romans 8:28 about. Do you believe all things work for the good of those who love? I'm going to say Jesus Christ. If you are called, I know. Because everybody in here has had some good stuff going on, had some bad stuff. We've got the worldly stuff going on that we're watching on the news all the time. You think all this stuff is working for our good? That verse says it is. And we're going to leave it right there. Appreciate your time.
Amen.